A good Sunday morning to all of you. My name is Daniel. I'm the pastor of the church. And I want to especially extend a warm welcome to some of our guests who are here with us this morning. If you're here, you're welcome in this church. All right. You know, we have spent about 2 or 3 months running this Alpha course. And I want to just know how many of you were involved in one way or another in this Alpha course. Anyone? Just wave your hands. Okay, quite a number of you, alright? The rest of you, you guys got to be involved, okay? Because you're missing out on what God is doing so much. You know that first lady, her name is Evie, and she spoke about how she wanted to commit suicide. She came from such a painful background. On her graduation day, she told me, in fact, just told me yesterday, on her graduation day, her dad told her that she wished that she never had been born. So, you know, that was the kind of situation she grew up in, never really having loved, being loved and always feeling rejected. And she said that when she opened her heart to Jesus through Alpha, right? It's one of those sessions there. It was the first time that she felt that she was really accepted. First time that she was loved. And she came because, actually she came at Mother's Day this year, Mother's Day. And she went to the welcome corner and somebody reached out a hand and invited her. You know, we are so happy for that. We had the Treasure Island, right? But one of our first birthday parties this year, two of the children came with their parents, and one of the parents was getting to know people, and she came to the Alpha course. Through the Alpha course, she came to know Jesus, right? And her life was changed. And you know, when they meet with God, lives are changed in radical ways. Debbie Chang, just on Friday, told me, Debbie is one of our members who is working in Geylang, right? Serving those ladies who are working in the industry, I guess you could call it there, alright? And she told me there was this lady who 2 years ago came to meet with Jesus, okay? Got to know her, starting to get to know Jesus. And this January, this lady closed down her brothel. She was what you call a mama-san, right? She closed down her brothel. And no more. Those girls are all coming to know Jesus. You know what? When real people meet with a real God, there will be real transformation. Amen? And we all want to be part of this. I give God glory for that, alright? So I'm so excited. I want to thank all of you who have put in your energy and your time into this Alpha course. I know it's not always really easy, right? Although eating is always fun. But, you know, I know some effort has gone into this. Some sacrifices have been made. But I want you to know that you are making an eternity of a difference. You know, there are some things that we do that have no lasting difference, right? But there are some things that we do that will have an eternity of a difference. Now, I want to say, it's not about Nicky Gumbel. You know who Nicky Gumbel is? For those of you who did Alpha, you will know him, right? He's the guy who shows up on a video that they watch. This Angmo fella who tells Angmo jokes that sometimes we don't get, alright? It's not about Nicky Gumbel. It's not even about the program. It is not about the particular subject that's being discussed from week to week. Alpha is primarily about relationships, the bonds of friendship and relationships that we build with one another through which God may express His love, His power, and His reality. That is what we are doing in Alpha. And when you guys do this, you are expressing this because in Alpha, you get to experience church in a way that's different from this, right? This is one expression of church. But in that family, that small group, you really get to know people for who they are. And I want to thank you because that small family, that small relationships that you have is pointing to a relationship that God desires with all of us. And God is sometimes known by the Alpha and the Omega, right? The beginning and the end. So God is the original Alpha. I want to thank all of you. And I'm so glad for those of you who are guests, who have come on board as guests. You know, you are important to us. Your relationship, your willingness to share your life with us who are also working out our lives, that's important to us. Now, on that subject, I want to just briefly talk about something in our church, alright? We have a ministry, just now you heard Evie talked about how she came to know about Alpha through the Newcomers Corner. So we have a ministry at our Newcomers Corner, welcoming people who come to church, that's called WOW, okay? Everyone say WOW. Now why do you call it WOW, okay? Well, because we want people to have a WOW experience when they come to church, right? You know, years ago, you know, I thought, you know, going to church is a bit like waking up early in the morning, rushing to church, hoping that you get a car park lot, right? And hoping that it won't rain. Because you have no car park lot and it's raining, then you'll be getting wet walking from wherever down the road is to church on time. And then if you're not a Christian, you come to church, maybe you sing a few songs that, you know, you never heard before. It's not like ABBA or Beatles song, right? You're singing all these songs that you don't know where they're coming from. And then you hear a guy come up like me, you know, who's occasionally speaks in Hebrew to make things worse, or Greek, right? And after church, what do? Well, you queue up for the toilet. That's a long queue for the women's toilet there. Actually, that's a good place to sell insurance because they're not going anywhere, right? So, you got a long queue there. And after that, you're rushing to get your car park out. I thought, which part of this is wow? It's a different kind of wow, you know, right? No, we want people to come here, and we want them to feel welcome. This is our house. This is our family. And we want guests to come to feel loved, to feel welcome. Whether you're new or old, we want you to feel like there's a place for you here, right? So, we have this group of people who are very dedicated. They've given their time, their life to make that experience a wow experience. Bring them around the church, tell them about the place, introduce them to people, give them a warm welcome, extending to them the right hand of fellowship and love, introducing them to new people, making connections. Church is not about the program, just as Alpha is not about program, it is about making connections, getting to know people. So they help people to connect with others, to find other people who are like them, and to pray for them, to minister to them as and when needs occur. Now, what they need are people just like you, right? Who after church, now you're going to go out there and grab your coffee, the very nice coffee, and eat stuff. But we also need some of you who are willing to volunteer to serve as one of these wow ministry people. Now some of you will ask, Pastor, what are the qualifications for wow? Okay, so are you ready? We're going to do a test now, right? Turn to your neighbor and smile. Okay, smile. Okay, some of you have problems smiling. Okay, you need deliverance. Okay, no, I mean, you know, some of us, you know, Pastor say smile. I'm smiling what? Right? If you don't have a smile, look, you know, if there's joy in your heart, you want to share this joy with people, you like meeting new people and showing them around the house, you're qualified already, right? Now, if God has put that burden in your heart, please do go up, you know, and sign up for this WOW ministry. I think they have a booth there. Or you can just go up to the corner and tell people that, you know, you're interested to serve this. Or tell one of the pastors. Because you know why? We need more people. We're getting more and more visitors. We need more people to go around and be friendly because we are a friendly church. Are we? Are we a friendly church? Yeah, you have to learn to be. If you're not friendly, we're going to make you friendly, all right? So, you know, we're going to be a friendly church because church is about relationships, all right? Now, speaking about relationships, I want to jump quickly into what we're talking about. Christian relationships and really the Christian identity. Being a Christian, right? The Christian identity is what is founded upon. It really begins with this guy called Abraham, all right? Or in the early days, his name was Abram. Now, Abraham, it's really what you might call the beginning point of our whole Christian, framework. Because, well, actually, you hear sometimes people call Christian one of the Abrahamic religions. You might have heard of this, right? And this, the reason is because it all traces back to this guy called Abraham or Abram. Now, at the beginning, in the Bible, in the first book of the Bible, the book called Genesis, in chapter 12, it's the first time, actually 11, it's the first time you hear about this character called Abram, right? And at that point of time, we don't know very much about him, but in chapter 12, suddenly you have this whole narrative that begins about this encounter Abraham has with God. God reveals himself to Abraham and says something to him. I'm going to read the three verses from the first part of Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, 2, to 2 and 3. And here it goes. Now the Lord, meaning God, has said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and I'll curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The first thing that happened was God revealed himself to Abram. The Bible says God spoke to him. Now, I want to pause a bit here because, you know, before you jump into the actual things that are said, this itself is very important. God reveals himself. The Bible doesn't actually tell us in what way this happened. So we don't know if this happened in a dream or whether it was in a vision, or whether an angel appeared to Abraham, or whether, you know, there was just a voice that he heard, or perhaps a thought that came into his mind or in his heart. We are not told exactly how this encounter really played out. We don't have a whole lot of details about this. However, I want to say that God speaks to people in different ways. In all different ways. God may speak to you in your very own special way. Some of us, maybe you might hear God speaking to you as you read or watch something, right? Some words jump out to you and just feel, you know, I think this is more than just the word speaking to me. Maybe God is speaking to me. For some of us, when you're hearing someone say something, maybe that is the way in which God speaks to you. For every one of us, God will speak to you in your own special way. That you will know, that you will recognize. And the thing is this, this is not just a God from 3,000 years ago. He's a God of the present and a God of the future. And what that really means is that today, as you're sitting here in this congregation, there is a good chance that God is speaking to you. The things that you happen to be listening. I can just imagine God revealing himself to Abraham, but Abraham was busy on his phone, right? Updating his Facebook profile. You know, that's not, so if God is speaking to you this morning, I want you to be very sensitive. I want your heart to be open to, you know, maybe that is the voice of God. So God reveals himself to Abraham and he says to him these things. And actually, these are promises that God is making to Abraham. And the substance of promise is basically that Abraham will have land. He will have a nation, right? He have a whole, he'll become a nation, and this nation will become a blessing. Now, if I were to summarize these three promises that God made to Abraham, it would be this. God promised to give Abraham a family. Everyone say family. Right? You have a place. You have a community. We are in this place here in 130 Margaret Drive. We are so glad that you're with us this morning. And guess what? You are the community, right? This is, you might not call this a nation, but this is a community, and this is our family. Our family has a purpose. Our purpose is to bless people. And this is what the promise was. God promised to give Abraham a family. Remember, at that point of time, he had no children, right? So this was a pretty amazing and remarkable promise, if ever there was one. Now we have to ask ourselves a question before proceeding from here. God could have promised Abraham 1,000 camels, okay? Or maybe 5,000 sheep. God could have promised Abraham great riches and wealth. Maybe God would have made Abraham a name to be feared under heavens, right? People hear, wow, Abraham, great power and renown. But no, God promised Abraham a family. You know the feeling when your children on Christmas morning, they run to the presents and they tear open the presents and, you know, among the packing, all that, they pull out 5 years past your exam questions. And they're thinking, is this a joke? Right? And they go, look in the box, there must be something more than this. No, no, no way, this can't be it. You know, sometimes when we hear God gave Abraham a family, you're thinking, huh? Like that, yeah. Is that it? And we're asked, why? Of all the things that God could have given Abraham, why a family? And here's what I think. I think there's something quite profound going on here. Because you see, we would rather have houses, cars, ambition, career, security, health, right? We want all these things. But God is putting his finger and saying, you know what? Of all the things you could have, relationships are more important than all of these things. I don't know if you agree with this. Imagine this. Suddenly you have a 20-room mansion all to yourself. No one but you. You know, that's a prison, right? Just you in this great big house without anyone to share that with. Relationships are important. They are important to God and they should be important to us. More than things, right? More than things. Relationships are enduring. Things are passing. So I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, you are important to me. Right? All of you, guys, you know, both sides lie, you know, because both sides are so important to you, alright? Now I know some of us may have come through journeys in life in which we don't always feel that reality. But that is the biblical reality. That actually in a family, relationships are important. Right? And this is really, I feel, a revelation that God is giving, not just to Abraham, reminding us, while we are so busy in our life, getting on with things, moving up in our career, investing in security, God is reminding us, you are doing all of this for relationship. If at the end of the day, you die alone, then what becomes of all the things that you amassed? So God is revealing, not just to Abraham, but to us, a compass in our life. People are important. People are important to God, and they are important to us. That is the first thing. God makes a promise of a family to Abraham, right? And I want you to know, I'm looking at all of you upstairs as well. You are important to me as a pastor. You are important to us as a community. You know, last week, I got to speak to a brother who has been in Church of Savior for 2 years, but I never got to speak to him before that, right? And he told me, he sat in the corner. I don't know if he's here this morning, but you know what? When I got to talk to him, I felt, you know what, God loves this brother so much. And I love him too. I wish I gotten to know him more before. And that is how I think a family should be, right? We are not perfect, but we love each other. Amen. And we learn to love each other. Alright, now that's the first thing that happened. From there on, something else happened. The second thing that happened. So first thing is a promise. Second thing that happens is that Abraham believed. That is amazing. Okay, that is pretty remarkable. Abraham believed God. In fact, he didn't just believe, because God said, I want you to leave, because his father Terah was dead, right? He was in the family house. Abraham, I want you to move out. And the Bible says he believed. Not just, how do they know he believed? He actually moved out. Abraham was about 80 years old at this point in time. He was an old man. He was not a young man getting up and starting out his life. He was an old man, 80 years old now, right? And he had no children. But he believed God. He packed up and left his home. I can just imagine that morning. 80-year-old Abraham, barely walking with his stick, you know. And his wife, Sarah, asking him, Abraham, where are you going? We are leaving. Why are you leaving? God told you. God told me to leave. Let's pack up. And Sarah is thinking, this man is having a late life crisis. Right? Suddenly he wants to move. And then Sarah asked the obvious question, where are we going? Abraham, Lao Kong, where are we going? Abraham looks straight in the eyes. I don't know. This man believed God without knowing. Think about this. Abraham did not have an alpha group to go to, where he could ask people, you know, what does God say? He didn't have people to consult, other believers. This guy was a prototype. He was one of a kind. There was nobody he could talk to. As a matter of fact, the Bible was not even written at that point of time, right? It couldn't have been written because the Bible was about him. So that didn't exist for him. He couldn't read up. He didn't have books. He couldn't go to a church. He couldn't go to anybody. As a matter of fact, Abraham came from a non-believing family. His father, Terah, worshipped other gods, right? So he was the first in his family. Everyone else, from growing up, from young to old, all he knew was the worship of other gods. So this was a very, very special thing when Abraham believed God. You know, a lot of people think that before we can have faith, we must have understanding or knowledge, right? And I think there's some truth to that. Before we can really have faith, we must have all these other things that sort out all my doubts and all my questions. But in Abraham, you see something quite different. You see a faith that precedes understanding, right? You see a faith before you understand everything, he believed. Rather than, I believe everything. You know what? Nobody here today can claim to have known everything about God, right? Most of us, we started with faith and a little understanding, but true faith, understanding grows. And this is actually not something strange, because this is how we operate all the time. We have faith to do life. Now imagine, after the service, right, some of you are going to go back by bus, you're going to go out to the bus stop, and you say, you know, I'm going to take bus 32. Actually, bus 32 is over here, I think. Yeah, decide, right? You can go to bus 32, you hold out the bus 32, and you say, oh, wait a minute, I don't know the bus driver's name, right? You don't know whether the bus driver is a crazy guy or not. He might, for all you know, bring you to Johor, right? Which I suppose is not where you want to go. Now, why do you, most of us, you don't even look at the bus driver. You keep on looking at a phone, right, tap, and then you sit down. That is faith. That is faith before understanding, right? So you have this much understanding, but this much you don't know, right? You don't know who the driver is, you don't know where he's, you don't know where he comes from, what national, you don't know anything, but this much is your trust. You trust that he's going to do it right. And if you do this every week, slowly you discover that, you know what, I think you can trust this fellow, right? He never brings me to Johor. He always brings me along the way that he's supposed to bring me. You know what? Abraham had faith before he had understanding. I think that's so important to know. Because people get stuck if they think that you got to have all understanding before you can have faith. No. Faith that precedes what you call a priori. You know, you must have the faith that begins this whole journey. Now, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 15, verse 16, that, and he, meaning Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he, meaning God, accounted to him for righteousness. That's a really, I guess, difficult way of putting it. If I would put it in normal English, what it really means is this. Abraham trusted God. And that trust made it possible for a right relationship to be established between the two. Right? I think that makes a lot more normal sense for us. Trust is the basis for establishing relationships. Isn't that right? Right? That's true for all of us. If today you went for a party or something and someone introduced, hey, hi, come on. Let me introduce you to James, okay? Or to, you know, I know there's some Jameses here, but, you know, to some other James or Patrick or whatever, okay? Yeah, I want to introduce to James. And you go up to James, and then you're supposed to shake your hands, you know, this is the socially correct thing to do. You shake your hands, but you're looking at James now, right? You're looking at James, and you're looking at him, and you're thinking, you know, his eyes is kind of shifty. You know? He's looking here, there, while shaking your hands, you know. And he's looking at your watch, you know, looking at your wallet. And you're thinking, Now, remember, you don't know James before this, right? You don't know, you never met James before this. But in that encounter, you have to make a decision. Are you going to trust James? Right? Because after that, James says, hey, want to go for a drink or not? Now you're thinking about this guy, you think, no, sorry, I got something to do, right? I have to go and do my assignment or homework to do or whatever it is. Now, someone else comes along and says, hey, come on, I'm going to introduce you to John. I don't know why they're all J, but, you know, I'm going to introduce you to John now. John is this properly dressed, you know, very mild looking, very safe guy, right? He seems to be a fun sort of chap, interesting guy. He behaves himself properly, he doesn't look at your watch and all that. And you shake hands with him, and you feel, okay. And he says, would you like to sit down and have a drink? And you think, yeah, why not? You see, faith is the trust that begins a relationship. When God reveals himself to you, and that must be the first thing, at that point, you're going to make a decision. Are you going to trust God enough to establish a relationship with him? And for Abram, that is what he did. He had an encounter with God. Before that, presumably, he had not met God before. But in that encounter, he had faith. And that faith was the seed of that relationship. That became a righteous relationship. And for every single one of us here, who are here as Christians today, it all began the same way. We trusted God enough to build a relationship. And as the relationship went on, you got to know God better. Right? You got to know God better. Okay, so God makes a promise to Abraham, and Abraham believes God, not just intellectually, because I think sometimes when we use the word belief in our modern context, we think it's like, right? Now that's not believing, alright? Abraham's belief was he went through the door, okay? There is a door there, I agree. You open the door is open, I agree. There's good things behind the door, I agree, but you haven't believed. In the Bible, when it says believe, you go through the door. If you really believe, you go through the door, right? So that's what happens. He goes through the door. They have this righteous relationship. Now, if this were true, then the next question would have to be, where is this family today? Because God promised him this family. Now, it wasn't just any family that God promised Abraham. God promised Abraham that this family is going to be a big family. All right, a big family. And yesterday we had some Japanese here, by the way. You know, I was trying to say in Japanese, you know, Kazoku Oki, I think. Oki desu, right? So it's a big family. It's a big family, and not only is it big, it is a family that will eventually encompass all the nations of the earth. So it's not just for Jews, not just for Middle Easterners, it will include all kinds of people, Japanese, Chinese, all sorts of people of the earth. That's a pretty big family, if ever there was one. Now, if there was such a family, it would not be wrong to ask, so where is this family today, right? Where is this promise that God made to Abraham? And actually, Paul, in writing to the Gentile Christians, thousands of years later now, not thousands, well, you know, nearly 2,000 years after that point of time, God, Paul writes to these Christians, these non-Jewish Christians, right, Greek Christians in the city of Ephesians. They were asking him, basically, I guess, now what's happening to all this? Where do we fit into this family? And precisely to answer this, he writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 to 19. Now, this is rather long. I'm just going to kind of read through it and maybe talk to you about it as we read through it, right? At that time, you were without Christ. So this be, at that time, meaning when they were still outside the door, right? You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Now, when you read aliens, I don't want you to be thinking about the guy with these beady eyes, you know, like UFO or X-Files type of aliens. What the Bible means in this, aliens is that you are foreigners. You are not part of the clan, not part of family. You are outside of this family that God promised Abraham. And you are strangers from the covenant of promise. All right? All these promises, nothing to do with you. Having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So what did Jesus do? Jesus opened the door to make it possible for those who are outside to come inside. Right? He brought you near, because before that, there was a wall between you two. For he himself, continues, is our peace. And peace is a language of relationship, right? Before that, you were strangers. Now you're at peace. Who has made both one, both the outside and inside, and broken down the middle wall of separation. That is what Jesus had done. He made it possible for us to come in, to become part of his family, to be adopted as it were. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both, all of us. Now this whole family may be reconciled to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off, that's us, and those who are near. For through him, we both have access to one Spirit, through the one Spirit, to the Father. So if we have one Father, it means that we are one family. Isn't that right? Right? So, I mean, it's long words, and then he says, now therefore, you are no longer strangers. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not a stranger. Okay? Make sure we are not strangers here. Or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. That is basically the church. The church is the spiritual family that God promised to Abraham. Abraham wasn't just the father of Isaac. That was his son's name, right? And Isaac gave birth to Jacob, and Jacob then gave birth to 12 children, right? We need more Jacobs in Singapore because, you know, not enough kids, right? Have more kids. But Jacob had many kids, 12 kids, and that became Israel. But Abraham wasn't just the father of Israel. Abraham was father of faith. He became the father of all who would believe. So in Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 to 5, Paul continues, he says, even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the earth. When you're outside, you are left on your own. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, that is Jesus, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption. Everyone say adoptions. Adoption as sons. So we were once outside, but now you are adopted into Abraham's spiritual family. The church, this is where that family is supposed to be. Not just Church of Our Savior, but, you know, believers worldwide. We are all supposed to be part of one great family. And at some point in all of our journeys, each of us accepted that invitation. Right? The door was open to you. You don't have to open the door yourself. It's already open. God is already knocking. Now, what you need to do is you need to go through that door. That part is up to you to accept that adoption. So what is Alpha? Alpha is basically the church, the community, this part of family, extending the same invitation, the very same one that we ourselves received years ago, right? To our friends, to the people that we love around us. You know, for some of us, we never accept the invitation. You know, years ago, my wife and my daughter went to Hong Kong. And when they were in Hong Kong, they went to Hong Kong Disneyland. I've never been there myself, right? So they went there and they sent back some photos to me while they were in Hong Kong. And it was the whole group of them that went, they were standing at the gate of Disneyland. You could see behind that some of these buildings of Disneyland. I guess if you look through the gate, you might even see Mickey Mouse and stuff running in there. But they never went in. Because the queue was very long to buy the tickets, right? But you know, nowadays you don't actually have to go in. Take picture can already, right? You have Instagram picture, you are in Disneyland. But with church, sometimes it's like this. We want you to come in. We don't just want you to stand at the door. But to come in is an act of faith. And Alpha is us telling you, come on guys, come on in. It's fun here, right? It's not going to be perfect, but this is a great family. And why is that? Because God is reminding us that man was never created to be alone. Right? We all have our challenges in our life. Life is hard enough as it is. And sometimes it can be a very lonely journey. But God looked at Adam and said, no, it is not good for man to be alone, right? I'm going to give him a wife. That was the beginning of a family. And God knows that in this journey of life that we all are going through, Christians and non-Christians, we don't have to walk this alone. We have one another in a family of God. We can do this together, right? We can walk. We are not perfect. We are sorting out our own lives, but we can do this together. And Alpha is our way of extending that right hand of fellowship. It says, guys, come on in. You know, let's do this together. Let's do this together with God as our Father, right? So, families do not have to be perfect. You know, I come from a family of three. I have an older sister and a younger brother, right? And my older sister was the goody two shoes. I hope she's not watching this, you know, recording. But she's the goody two shoes, right? Everything that we did wrong, she will report the mother or father, right? And we will be in trouble. And man, I tell you, that gave me some grief, right? But you know what? She's still my sister. I still love her. You understand this? Any family is like this. You don't have to be perfect to be in the family of God. And the family of God is not perfect. Sometimes we have this wrong expectation that this will be a perfect situation. No. All we are saying is that whatever our struggles may be, we are here to encourage and help one another. I know sometimes it's not easy. But this is the family we are inviting you to be part of that lovely family under God. And God, as the Father, is saying to the children, okay, children, play fair with one another. Don't fight, okay? Love one another. That's what God is telling us. And that's what we're trying to live up to. We are trying to learn to love one another the way God has loved us. Now, all families require some investment, right? Some investment to make it work. We all know this. This is true of our human relationships, right? So a spiritual relationship also requires investment to make it work. Now, me and my wife, we've been married for a long time. In other services, I said 20-something years. But she's sitting here, so it has to be 27 years. I have to say exactly now. Okay, 27 years. I will not be in trouble today, okay? Maybe 28. It's been a long time, okay? But I will tell you this. I can't just show up in the morning and say, wedding certificate, right? We're married. That doesn't work like this. Every day, you have to invest. She has to invest. We have to work together to make that relationship alive and well. Isn't it? This is the same for your relationship with God. You have to invest your trust, your heart, your energy, your resources to make that relationship work. It's true. This is why we have WOW Ministry. People are investing. Relationships don't just happen all by themselves, right? People need to put something in and then it comes out beautiful. That is the invitation. We're inviting you to invest in a relationship with God and with the body, the community, the family under God. Today, you know, all of us at some point had that invitation. Now today, if you're here this morning, and you know, you're one of our Alpha guests, but you never really went through that door. Okay, we told you about the door. Okay, we said that God is knocking on the door. He wants to come in and have a meal with you. You know about it. Maybe you even know quite a bit about God now that you've talked about this for a number of weeks. But here's the thing. Faith is actually saying, okay, let's get on with it. Right? I want to be part of this family. This is the invitation that we're extending to you today. If you are here this morning and you're not part of the family of God, you know what? We would love to have you be part of this family. Part of this house that we are together here, right? If you're not a Christian, I want to extend this invitation to you right now. That you could say yes to God. And it's not a difficult thing. All of us go through this at some point and say, you know what, I want to be part of this lovely thing. So today, if that's you, I'm extending that invitation for you because you know what, God is waiting for you. God the Father is waiting for you to open up your heart to Jesus just like Evie did at the beginning of the show. Actually, Joe also has a great testimony as well. I want to ask everybody to close your eyes right now. Right? No one looking around. And this Alpha celebration, we can, you know, it's such a wonderful time to be here. But I know God is speaking to us, revealing Himself to us just as He did back thousands of years ago with Abraham. I believe that today you are here, you're not here by accident. That God orchestrated this whole thing so you could be here. And now God revealing Himself to you is asking, will you trust me? Just as you would get on the bus, will you trust me to begin this relationship with me and with this whole family? If that's you today, I would like to tell you, you can just do it by a decision of your heart right now. You can make a decision and begin going through that door without anyone looking around. Okay? If that's you, you're not a Christian, but that's you, say, I want to be part of this family. I'm going to ask you to do something really simple. Just put up your hand for a couple of seconds and then put it down again so that I can see it and I can pray for you. No one looking around. Is there anyone like this? Right? We have like 7 people, past services doing this. Yes, I see the hand. You can put that hand down at the back. At the back there, you can put that down. Anyone else here? You don't want to go through this whole journey. You don't have to do it alone. We are all sorting this out together. Anyone else, put your hand up so I can see it and you can put it down again. Anyone else? I see. Anyone else? Yes, you can put that down again. Father, we want to thank you. We thank you that, you know, you're such a warm, loving Father. And this family should be a warm, loving family. And Lord, we thank you for all these brothers and sisters who are walking through that door this very moment. The angels of heaven, the Bible says, are rejoicing because God is welcoming home His children into His family. Lord, we know that we are not perfect, but God, I pray that this journey of coming back to you will also be a healing journey, a healing of hearts and a healing of the body as well, Lord. So, Father, we want to pray for every one of them right now. This moment, may they experience the love of an unchanging Father. You are the rock of our family. The one who will never fail us in a relationship. Even though human relationships may fail from time to time, you, God, you are our secure anchor that will never fail us. You will always be our Father. So, Father, I thank you because you will not leave us or will you forsake us. For every one of our new family members, will you pour your Holy Spirit out so that you can be with them always? They will know your presence with them all the time. Even when they are not among us in the community, you will be with them. So, Father, I commit each one of them to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Welcome to the family, all right? I'm going to put our hands together and welcome all of you. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing, because, you know, God is sometimes said to have these attributes of being omnipresent. That is, God is everywhere. Okay? You know, some parents are like, they are omnipresent. Huh? They are in the kitchen, they are in the bedroom, they are doing everything. You feel like that. Okay? God is said to be omniscient. They know everything. You know, some mothers are, they got eyes behind their back. Huh? When you're doing something funny, I know, they don't even look at you, they know. Put that down. Oh, you're thinking your mother got eyes on the back, right? God is like that, omniscient. But God is all-knowing, right? Omniscient also means all-knowing. Now listen, I've been trying to master some of these gifts, but haven't yet, right? If you have made such a decision today, we would love to get to know you, because I'm not God, right? So I don't know automatically. I would love to ask you to do a couple of things. One, come and tell us that you have made this decision, right? Tell so that we can celebrate with you. And as a community, we love it. We really rejoice when there are new people, right? So come and talk to some of our pastors who are up front, or if you are in an alpha group, tell your alpha group leader, right? And we want to celebrate together with you. You know, it's like your birthday, right? Awesome thing, right? So please do that. And then continue to walk in this journey, right? We need to invest to make this relationship right. So tell somebody. Ken, turn to your neighbor and say, tell somebody. Right? If you made that decision, tell somebody and we'll love to walk with you. Will you stand up together as we sing this closing song?
Let's welcome each other to the family. Amen. And you say that we belong.
As for me, God came and found.
for you, and as for me, we are going to serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father, I thank you so much for the wonderful, wonderful good news that we can be part of this family. That whatever burdens that life may be throwing at us, we don't have to bear it all alone. We have you, and we have the family that we are in. Father, right now, as we go and spend time with our physical and earthly families, but also with our spiritual families, may the joy of the Lord be our strength, Lord. May your blessing go in us and through us to bless all the families of the earth. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit go with every one of us now and always. Amen, amen. Service is over. Come talk to us. And then outside in the atrium, you know, there's a wow sign up, okay? And go and look at some of the food that are selling out there. God bless all of you.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.whos.org.sg. God bless.